Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Did you notice in that reading, a difficult reading to hear, how surprised everyone is in this parable of judgment? The sheep, so-called, are surprised. The goats are surprised. They are getting rewarded or cast out by small, forgotten acts of compassion. They all ask, when did I do that, or when did I not do that? Judgment here does not hinge on doctrine, sacrament, theology, creed, or mode of baptism. No, none of these are mentioned. It seems that Jesus wants us to know that judgment might not happen the way you think. Now, I'm going to tell one of my favorite stories, and if you've heard this before, please save your groans to the end. And it is not about Emmy, our secretary. We'll call her Jean. She's 50 years old, and she had a heart attack and was taken to the hospital. And while on the operating table, she had a near-death experience, and she saw God and asked if this was the end. And God gently said, no. You have 30 or 40 more years to live. Well, upon her recovery, Jean decided to stay in the hospital and have a facelift and some liposuction here and some augmentation there and a tummy tuck. And she even came in, had someone come in and do her hair and color it and style it. She figured if she had another 30 or 40 years, she might want to make the best of it. Well, Jean walked out of the hospital and was immediately struck and killed by a speeding ambulance. And again, she arrived before God and she said, I thought you said I had another 30 or 40 years. God said, I'm sorry, I did not recognize you. That's bad. In the picture of the last day Jesus gives us in this parable of judgment, all the people are surprised. The sheep didn't understand what they'd done to experience such an honor, and the goats didn't understand why they were being guided toward the eternal fire. And you can almost hear the complaints. Jesus, there must be some mistake. I'm in the wrong line. I'm supposed to be over there. To this complaint, he replies, I was hungry, and you gave me no food. Thirsty, you gave me no drink. Naked, you gave me no clothing. Sick and in prison, you ignored me. And the goat said, when? When did we see you hungry or thirsty or naked or sick or in prison? And Christ replies, when you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not unto me. Surprise. The people called sheep and goats did not know what they had done or failed to do. All of these judgments, and I think this is an important point, came out of the very heart and soul of who they were. They weren't doing any actions by trying to impress God in any way. They just did what they truly wanted to do out of their essential selves. And the judgment was based upon what came out of their hearts and the actions that their hearts demanded. Based upon the compassion they had for others, acted out unconsciously. Not works to gain from God, no. They are forgotten acts of compassion, just because that is who they truly were. Remember why Jesus had a problem with the Pharisees. Their hearts and their outward actions were disconnected. You know, the Pharisees, they looked in the mirror and they saw fine, upstanding, religious citizens because that is the image they tried to portray. And after a while, they began to believe their own press. They began to believe their own portrayal of fine, upstanding citizens, and they forgot that they were acting. And they started to see themselves as what they portrayed in public. But some part of them knew that they were just putting on, that they were playing a role. And I think that this story has something to do with that and something to do with us. Because in this story, the unconscious actions which come out of the heart and out of the soul of who you truly are, those acts revealing your inner true self, those acts become the basis for judgment, and our superficial portrayals don't matter at all. Compassion on the poor, the homeless, the naked, the hungry, the sick, those in prison. Compassion done from who you are deep within your heart and soul. That compassion became the basis of judgment. What you did and what you failed to do showed who you really are in your innermost heart. And so this parable of judgment It is of judgment, but it speaks very deeply also of the importance of the here and the now and the way we act, and how the way we act reveals our hearts. It reminds me of a very old story about a man who dies and finds himself standing in front of heaven's gate. And in these kind of stories, St. Peter's always there. Well, St. Peter explains that the computer system is down because they've just upgraded to Windows Vista and it won't boot. They don't know what's wrong. Anyway, he personally had to interview each candidate to see if they were fit for heaven. So St. Peter starts the questions and said, "What kind of deed have you done to make you worthy of heaven?" The man scratches his head and answers, "I don't know." And Peter gives him a lead. He says, "Well, have you done anything in the community, church projects, community projects, Boy Scouts, anything?" The man replies, "No, I never did." So did you ever help anybody across the street who needed help? He says, "No, I never did that." "Did you ever contribute to the food pantry?" The man said, "No, I never did." Said, "Well, tell me, did you ever do anything good in your whole life? Think." He said, "Well, one time I went to church and I put a nickel in the plate. Does that count?" Peter was stumped. He didn't feel like, even considering grace and forgiveness and the love of God, that this man had really understood. And so he left the man. He said, "I'm going to have to go talk to Jesus about this." And he talked to Jesus and he told him the whole story. And Jesus said, "Well, this is simple. Give him back his nickel and show him out." Tough story, but this is a tough gospel reading. In his actions, his heart was revealed. There are some who will dismiss this entire parable by saying it sounds like salvation by works, and I don't like the idea of judgment and separation, and I believe in salvation by faith, and so I'm not going to worry about this at all. I dismiss it. Well, it is true that we are saved by faith, but by what faith? What does faith look like? Is it a mere intellectual assent, just saying, "Yeah, I believe that," and shaking your head during the Apostles' Creed? Or is it participation in God's work in God's world, hands-on? E. Stanley Jones once told of a Brahmin convert to Christianity who began to live in a religious retreat in India. See, the Brahmins are the highest caste in India. And everyone in this retreat was expected to participate in the community chores, including the cleaning of latrines. At that task, the former Brahmin stopped short and he said, "That job is beneath me." Well, Jones insisted that in Christ there are no unsuitable tasks, and that those converted to his lordship should have no trouble cleaning latrines. And the Indian replied, "Brother Stanley, I am converted, but not that far." That's our problem. We are converted, but sometimes not that far. Compare that attitude with that of one of Mother Teresa's nuns, also in India. One of her nuns saw, one day, Mother Teresa saw this young nun smiling and full of joy, and she asked, "Sister, why are you so happy?" Well, she explained that she had found an old man who had fallen into a drain. He was stuck in the drain for some time, and he was completely covered with dirt, and his wounds covered with maggots. The good sister cleaned the man up and took care of his open wounds. And as she was doing this, something beautiful happened. She said, "In my heart, I knew I was touching the body of Christ. I was caring for one of the least of his brethren." I had a similar experience in a homeless shelter one night in Charleston, washing the infected feet of an elderly resident there just after they had run out of gloves. Gifts, time, talent, hands-on service. We are given the ability to do these things from God, and we are meant to use these things for others whom God loves. God's gifts go round and round and round to others if faith is in the mix. They don't stop with us. Finally, this parable says emphatically that what we do matters to God, and what we fail to do matters to God. If it says anything, it says this. Most specifically, it says how we treat other people matters. And when we see someone we could help and choose not to help, it shows who we are. And it creates a division between us and the other person, and us and God. I shouldn't have to say these sorts of things, that our behavior matters to God. But it's in kindergarten language, I know, but Christian theology has gone in so many directions in the last 2,000 years. Some people lean so heavily upon grace that they paint God as an indulgent grandfather, and so it doesn't matter what we do. And other people go to the other extreme and paint a black and white judge of a God with a narrow system of predestination, where some are chosen for God's eternal embrace and some are chosen to be thrown away from the beginning. And so, again, it doesn't matter what we do. I believe that both are wrong. It does matter what we do and what we fail to do, and God is not impressed with our most recent press release of who we play in public. God is not impressed by the image we all put up for the public, and not impressed by our presentation, our public piety, our holiness, our goodness, our neatly combed hair, trimmed beard, and scrubbed faces and hands. God judges the heart. That is scriptural, and this is also what the parable of judgment is saying to me this morning. God judges the heart, and God sees in your heart by the way you sees our heart, by the way we treat other people, and what we do concerning others in need around us, and what we fail to do. This story is not about impressing God or courting God or putting your best foot forward and somehow earning the good side of judgment. Remember from the beginning, the parable says, none of them are aware. None of them are aware of any of the criteria upon which the judgment was made. It was through their true self, their heart and soul, acting out in daily life, little forgotten acts of compassion, that they judged themselves. We are indeed, in some form or fashion, what we do and what we fail to do. Yes, God loves us. And yes, God forgives us. And so the same God says, why do you even bother calling me Lord, Lord, when you know you're not going to do the things I say? What else did Jesus say? He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will love one another. And by loving one another, you will prove to the world that you are indeed my disciples. And remember when Peter betrayed Jesus and three times he asked Peter, do you love me? Remember that? And remember that each time Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus retorted with, well, then feed my sheep. If you love me, then tend my lambs. If you love me, then feed my little sheep. You love Jesus, it will show. And God will know whether it's coming from your heart or whether it's just an act. No matter how jarring this parable of judgment may be, it makes you think. It makes you think, you know, what other basis could judgment be made if not upon what we do and what we fail to do, and how those actions or failures reveal our heart and our faith or our lack of both? Our behavior matters more to God than the image we project. And of course, there is grace. Without grace, no human at any time could ever come into God's presence, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I've heard the modern saying, we are more than the worst thing we've ever done. Yes, we are. Of course we are. But our lives are indeed defined by the worst we have done, and by the best we have done, and by the opportunities where we have seen a need, and revealed by our inaction that we just don't care. It looks to me like it matters a great deal what we do and what we don't do. It reveals our hearts. How warm or how cold our hearts are in compassion toward others. Others who, by the way, God loves so much that He gave His only begotten Son for. Pharisees put on a holy face, but they had a cold heart within. We must ask ourselves. We might complain that I'm neither hot nor cold. I work very hard at offending no one. I work very hard at minding my own business. I work very hard at keeping the external traditions of the church. I've done nothing to ruin this image, and I've worked so hard to project and maintain. Surely my faith should be obvious to everyone. What did I do, Lord? What did I do that you've grouped me with the goats? And then it becomes obvious it's not what you've done. It's what you failed to do. You have not followed Jesus as Lord. You have not done what He said to do and not kept His commandments, not loved one another as He has loved us, not fed His sheep, tended His lambs, nourished His little sheep. We judge ourselves when we ignore others as not being a living and breathing temple of God's Holy Spirit. If we ignore all others and keep all gifts and all abilities and all talents and all time just for ourselves, then we judge ourselves as not being a living, breathing temple of God's Holy Spirit. And I remind you, this is not a new idea. Micah 6:8. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? And from Luke 14, the same idea. But when you give a reception, invite the poor and the crippled and the lame and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they do not have the means to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. And James, the first chapter, struggles with the same idea. This is pure and undefiled religion, he writes, in the sight of our God and Father, to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. And James also says, he who says he loves God but hates his brother is a liar. Lord, let us not be liars. Let us be true to the faith that we accept and receive and give thanksgiving for in you. Let us be true as we receive it and accept it. Let us be true as we echo it and pass it on to others. Let us understand that our faith in your grace and forgiveness is not just for us. Our resources and time and talents are not just for us. They are for us to continue giving glory to you by passing it on. In Jesus' name, give us growth, give us peace, and use us well. Amen.